dry again. Okay, I did want to tell you, I meant to mention it earlier. Sister Darlene got a test, they mentioned to her that they thought that they'd found cancer on her neck, but they found out when they took it out that it wasn't. It come out not to be cancer. We're thankful for that, so we thank God for answering those prayers. Open your Bibles, if you would, and while you're turning, those of you who may be listening that's not here tonight, we are not going to have our youth outing that we're going to have tomorrow night. We're going to move it to Tuesday night. It's going to be raining. We're going to cook hot dogs around campfire and so forth. And so we'll move that to Tuesday night. And if you have any questions, you can call one of us and we'll give you the answers. Hebrews chapter number 12, we're going to go to first, then we're going to go over to the Old Testament, then we're going to come back into the New Testament. Someone one time called bitterness poison for your soul. Did you realize that when you get bitter, the only person you're really hurting is you? It's easy sometimes to get bitter. Somebody said it's not big sins that make you bitter. It's close ones. In other words, when it's close to you. Somebody can do some little something to you sometimes, and that means a whole lot more than what somebody does out here that's really big. Somebody can shoot a whole family, and you can hate it, but you don't get all bitter about it. But then somebody sometimes can say a wrong word around you, do a little something to you, if you're not careful, you get bitter. And you let that bother you more than you let other things bother you. Tonight we're going to look at the life of a man that allowed bitterness to move into his life. But I want you to notice just a few moments in Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me, if you would, in verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail. That word fail there means fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so what happens sometimes when we allow bitterness come in, we leave God. I want to preach, and that's going to be my message tonight, leaving God in bitterness. Things happen. I've seen people blame God because a death happened in their family to a loved one. And we do understand that God is the author of all death. But we also understand that God has reasons for everything that he does. His ways, his thoughts are far higher than our thoughts, our ways. You never know. I remember one time I was reading a paper and this girl's boyfriend had took his belt and he had wrapped it around his hand and this little two-year-old boy, and he had beat him with that belt buckle because he had wet his pants. And he beat him and he beat him and he drug him in another room, he beat him, and he drug him in another room, he beat him, and eventually he beat him to death. And when I was reading it, I got angry. Then all of a sudden it struck me. And I got down and I laid the paper down. And I got down beside my chair and I bowed my head and I thanked God that he took that little boy's life. And I thought, if that's what the little boy is going to have to live in, Lord, I want to thank you for taking him. And thank God that, yes, he had to suffer pain before he left this earth, but he'll never know any more pain from that point on. And good to know that God, sometimes, he has ways of seeing things that we don't know. I've seen families fall out, brothers and sisters and families. Sometimes I saw it for a little nothing, a little inheritance here or there. Or mama didn't give me this, and mama gave somebody this. I've seen families completely broken up and bitterness rise up where they would not even talk to each other the rest of their life. How sad. That's not a commentary for what Christians ought to be. We ought to be able to grow above that. We ought to be able to grow out of that. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what they did. Jesus warned us that we would not be able to go through this world without offenses. People's going to offend you. They're going to hurt you. And by the way, you can't even open your heart up and love people without being hurt. That comes with the territory. Jesus was hurt. Other people will be hurt too. We'll be hurt too. But notice here, if you would, in verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail. In other words, that he falls short of using the grace that God's given you. Did you know that God has given you grace to endure anything that comes into your life? Paul, when he was going through the problem, he was seeing his thorn in the flesh. God, the Lord spoke to him and gave him one sentence. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And what he was telling him is that he, through the grace of God, could go through anything. And you and I can go through things too without getting all bitter. Because bitter is a pill that will destroy you. It will hurt you. Let's look back just a few moments. And notice here, by the way, let me show you this while I'm here. It says, not only will man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. The devil is busy. Now listen to me. The devil is busy planting little seeds. I've had people get mad at me because I didn't come visit them in the hospital. I didn't even know they were in the hospital. Now, how was I supposed to come visit them when they didn't even tell me they were in there? Well, we didn't want to bother you. Well, if you don't want to bother me, then don't get on my head at me. But let me know. But the second point is this, is that the devil is so busy planting little seeds. And those seeds, if you give them a place to stay, our thoughts, and they will turn into a root. And that root of bitterness will soon grow. And it will begin to bust things up. It will begin to produce fruit. And then there will be a lot of people affected because of it. And you need to be very, very careful. Look, if you would, in your Bibles. Turn, if you would, 2 Samuel chapter 16. I preached on this guy before a different message, but I enabled Matthew's help on pronunciation tonight, and because I wasn't sure I was pronouncing it the right way. But we want to talk about Ahithophel. Ahithophel, if you look in verse number 23 of 2 Samuel 16, and the Bible says in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now, you'll note from this verse that he was a counselor of the king. He was a counselor of the king of David first, and later on, when Absalom rebelled, he was a counselor to Absalom. But the thing that I want you to note here, what the Bible says, this man, evidently, I've heard some people try to teach that he was a lost man. He was a wicked man. And I've heard others say, well, he couldn't have been because those counselors were godly men. But here the Bible says that his counsel was as if he inquired at the oracle of God. So evidently, he was pretty good at giving counsel and giving godly counsel. So here he was, this man, a friend of David's. Look, if you would, in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And the Bible says there, and Ahithophel was the king's counselor. So there again, we have it verified that he was the king's counselor. He was someone that he trusted in him because he had good counsel, as we saw. But he was also a good friend. Keep your finger there in 2 Samuel and go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms real quick. in Psalms. Psalms chapter number 41. Talking about Ahithophel, he says this in Psalms 41. In verse number 9, David calls him his old familiar friend. He said, "Yea, my old familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." So here, Ahithophel, that was his counselor, that gave him wise counsel, now he had raised up against him. And what he did was, when Absalom raised up and rebelled against David, he went with Absalom. We'll talk about that here again in a minute. Look, if you would, in chapter 55. In chapter 55 of Psalms, again, he's talking about Ahithophel. And notice what he says about him. Verse number 12. He said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have bore it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And so here David said, Ahithophel, he said, "It hurt. It hurt when my own friend, my counselor, someone that I'd walked in God, someone I took counsel with, someone I had sweet communication with, he turned." And what he did was he gave Absalom counsel on how to kill David. Now, what would cause him to get to that place, and why was he so bitter with David? Well, let's look in your Bible just a moment, if you would, and notice, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. In 2 Samuel chapter number 11, notice, if you would, in verse number 3. "And David sent and inquired after the woman." Now, the woman he's talking about is Bathsheba. You remember what happened with David and Bathsheba, right? Remember, David was supposed to go be leading his army. Instead of leading his army, he went out to the palace on the porch. He looked out and he saw her bathing. And so he began to inquire who she was. Notice what it says in verse 3. "And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Now, Uriah was one of the mighty soldiers that David had. He was someone that's willing to give his life for David. He was someone that was loyal to David. And so Bathsheba was his wife. But now, Eliam, if you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 23, in verse number 34, 2 Samuel 23, verse number 34. And notice something about Eliam. The last part of verse 34, do you see Eliam's name down there at the bottom of the verse? Everybody see that? Look what it says. The son of who? Ahithophel, the Gileadite. So here, David could have had any single woman he wanted. But that's not what David did. David took a wife of a loyal subject of his. He took his wife and David tried to cover his sin up. Uriah come in, he tried to get him drunk, tried to get him to lay with his wife. And he was so loyal to David, and so loyal to the people of Israel, that he did not want to lay with his wife while they were out in the field battling, and he refused to do that. So then David, trying to cover his sin up, sent a letter to Joab telling him to put Uriah in the hottest place of battle. And what he wanted to happen was he wanted Uriah to be killed, to keep anyone from finding out what had happened with Bathsheba. Evidently, Ahithophel had found out. Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And he had saw what the king had done. Now, he'd still stayed there for a while and stayed with them in the palace. But evidently, he had some bitterness. He didn't let it show at first. You ever had anybody get bitter at you? You say, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." "Well, something's wrong." "Nope." But then you can tell they're just full of bitterness. Ahithophel stayed in the palace with David and didn't say nothing, but his bitterness began to take root, began to grow. And so he was hurt. He was angry. And so what happened was, then Absalom, when he rebelled against David, he went over to Absalom's side, stayed in the palace with him, and he gave Absalom counsel on how to kill David. And Absalom rejected his counsel. Look back in your Bible a moment in 2 Samuel chapter number 17. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and he put his household in order and did what? He hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." David did sin. He sinned against God, Bathsheba, Uriah, Ahithophel, Joab, Israel. But here, Ahithophel got so angry, so bitter. Later on, David got right with God. Ahithophel never did get right. He died in his bitterness. He destroyed his own life, being bitter. Now listen to me a minute. When you allow bitterness to take root in your life, you're not hurting nobody but you. Ahithophel took his own life because of his bitterness. He didn't hurt David. He hurt himself. And so many times you say, "Well, I'll just be all bitter and I'll get so angry and I hope they hurt the way I do." Chances are, sometimes they don't even know you're hurting. But you let bitterness, and it takes root, and it begins to grow. And boy, the devil loves that. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've seen many people make this statement to me: "I will go to my grave not forgiving that person. I will go to my grave hating that person. I will go to my grave being full of bitter against what they've done to me." And like I said, I've seen families and homes, I've even experienced it some close to us, seen homes tore all to pieces, many times with a little money or something like that. My dad preached a funeral up in northern Ohio or northern Kentucky, and he didn't know any of the family, and they knew he was a preacher, and they come and ask him if he would preach a funeral. He went to the funeral home that night before the funeral the next day. And he said half the family was sitting on this side, half the family on that side. They were mad at each other. He didn't know. He said the son come in. And he wrote a vulgar message on a piece of paper. And he took a pencil. And he went up to the casket. And he jabbed that pencil right in the chest of his dad with that vulgar note written on it. And he said then both sides jump up and started fighting each other. They had to call the police and come in there and arrest people, and said they had to have the sheriff's office sitting there during the funeral, separating the two sides while he was trying to preach the funeral. Bitterness. You'll say, "I never get that bitter." You will if you let something take root in you. You got to be careful about letting it take root. You got to learn how to deal with it before it gets there. Now think about this. It will devastate you spiritually. You hear me? Because to be bitter, you have to be in the flesh. You can't be in the spirit and be bitter. Would you ever have the Spirit of God move you? that like that old song we used to sing, that old time religion makes you love everybody. Even makes you love your enemies, those that done you wrong. I tell you what, when God shows up in revival, it'll make a church get right with each other. It'll make families get right with each other. You know why? When the Spirit moves and is moving in you and leading you, you can't have bitterness. And if you've got bitterness, you're in the flesh. And what you're doing is you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Think about this. It destroys you physically. You know why? You sit and you think about it all the time. You get angry. Your blood pressure goes up. You have heart issues. You have all kinds of issues, stress, all those type of issues. You say, well, I don't mean to. No, but when you let a root of bitterness go in, it will mess you up not only spiritually, it messes you up physically. Not only that, but also, it will mess you up emotionally. You can't even sleep at night for thinking about things. Did you ever do that? Did you ever have something come into you and you get so angry or you get so hurt at somebody and somebody's hurt you and all you can do is lay in bed, think about it, can't even sleep? And emotionally, you find yourself just being torn to pieces. Then you find out that it will divide your fellowship and separate your fellowship. It'll tear you up. Knowing that, relationships, destroys relationships. And last but not least, being bitter robs you of so many blessings. And you rob yourself of blessings. Understand this, please. When you get bitter, you hurt nobody but yourself. And you're hurting yourself. When it was all said and done with Ahithophel, who did he hurt? He went out and hung himself. Killed himself. Why? Bitter. He wanted to see David dead. And when Absalom didn't listen to his counsel, he just went out and he hung himself. Now, poison. We need to be very careful. And you know, sometimes, as I was talking about, sometimes people get mad. Sometimes people get bitter over perceived sin. They think you're thinking something. Did you ever have somebody think you're thinking something that you wasn't even thinking? I had somebody one time get mad at me, and I said, why are you so mad at me? They said, because what you was thinking the other day. I said, what was I thinking? They told me what they thought I was thinking. I said, that didn't even enter my mind. I don't even know, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they'd already got all huffed up and mad about something that I didn't even think about. And I told them, I said, I didn't do that. And somebody said, well, I'm waiting for them to apologize. Can I ask you to do this? One of you find apologize in your King James Bible and bring it and show it to me. Maybe you just need to forgive them. And maybe we don't have to wait for them to apologize to forgive them. We are to forgive other people because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Jesus gave that parable one time of the one that forgave those two debtors, and how one was forgiven and he went out and he had no forgiveness for the people that owed him a lot less money. And you know, sometimes we forget. The reason why we are commanded to forgive other people is because we need to remember what God has done to forgive us. And you know, when we remember how much God's forgiven us, sometimes it's not hard to forgive somebody some little something they said. And you know, it's no big deal. If somebody says something, yes, it hurts. I've been hurt. It happens. But we can't get beyond. Somebody said, well, how do I know if I've got bitterness? Well, one way, when you're bitter, there's a whole lot of good things that happens. But when you're bitter, you remember every little detail of that situation. You remember their tone, where you was, what they said, how they acted. And boy, I tell you what, you just have it all down. And the more you think about it, the more you exaggerate that situation. I've counseled marriages. And I ask them sometimes, and there'll be a situation that happened between them, and they just can't get over that one situation. I said, well, tell me about good things that you've done, good times you've had. And sometimes they, They can't remember no details about the good times, but boy, they remember every little detail about that one fight they had. And that one fight, they got so bitter that, you know what? They just called it quits, and they wanted to just walk away. Again, it depends on how close that you consider. Turn your Bibles real quickly, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Paul gives us some instructions. I'm going to use them tonight to help us understand how to get beyond having bitterness. Because again, the devil likes to plant seeds. Then the seeds take root. Then the root brings fruit. And what it does is, it's not because you don't have it within you to get beyond something that somebody done to you. I mean, if Jesus can hang on the cross of Calvary and look out after the people that just whipped him and beat him and done all the things, terrible things to him, and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. If Stephen can look and pray that God not hold this to their charge while they're stoning him to death with stones, I think if someone says or does a little something to us that hurts us, I think we can get beyond it with the grace of God. I think through the grace of God we can get beyond this thing. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the what? New man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, he wants you to get out of the old man, get into the new man. The old man's where bitterness grows, and he'll rob the new man of his peace. Look in verse 24, some things that we need to do. Some things we need to stop doing, some things we need to start doing. It says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away what? Lying, speak every man what? Truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So first of all, let me tell you this. You want to keep bitterness from growing up? Quit lying and tell the truth. What are you lying about? What's wrong? Nothing. Talk to me. Ain't nothing wrong. Then you won't speak to them. If they've hurt you, tell them, I was hurt. You hurt me. And they may say, well, I didn't mean to. And then you know what? You might just make right up there. Then they may say, oh, I'm glad I did. Then you're going to have another problem that you got to forgive. But the point being is this. Instead of letting a root of bitterness grow, quit lying and tell the truth. If they say, have you got something against me? I'll just be honest with you and tell you. I'd much rather somebody do me that way. There's been times when people's told me something that they had against me, and they were absolutely right. I was in the wrong. Don't tell my wife, but I had a few of them. But there's also times when people's told me that I had no idea that they were hurt about something I said or done. And I tell you what, being up in this position right here and preaching, I've heard a lot of people that I didn't even know I hurt. And I'd say, they tell me what I said. I said, that's not what I said. That's not even what I was dealing with. And so, number one, stop lying, tell the truth. Look on, if you would, in verse 26. And be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Quit getting so angry and mad and hating and start loving. The Bible says you can tell my disciples because they love one another. You know what charity does? It covers what? A multitude of sins. You say, you don't know what they did. Well, they sinned against you if they did something wrong to you. But you know what charity does? It covers that. It lets you overlook that. And understand, they're a sinner saved by grace just like you are. And if they did something wrong, then that's between them and God, and don't let it destroy you. Because it can destroy you. Number three, look if you would in verse 28. Let him that steal no stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Somebody said, now what are you going to bring out of that that has bitterness? People that steals is selfish people. They only think about themselves. And look here, you might steal somebody's joy. Work at it. What you want to do is be something that gives somebody something, not somebody that steals something from somebody. Give somebody joy. Don't steal their joy. In other words, quit stealing and start giving. Because when we steal, most time it's just selfishness. I was watching those riots in Philadelphia. That has nothing to do with what happened to that young man. All it is an opportunity from breaking stores and steal everything that they can carry out. And as long as they let them continue to do that, they're just going to continue to do that. And I think it's a crying shame that they let them go in stores and police officers standing right there and they're being given orders to stand down and not do nothing and them carrying out merchandise and somebody having to pay for that merchandise. I think it's a crying shame. But you know why they can steal like that? Because they're selfish. They think of nobody but themselves. They don't think of anybody else. I don't want to go down here and wreck somebody's store that put their life saving in it. I don't want to burn it to the ground. We as Christians, we ought to quit stealing and start being where we can give. Next thing, look if you would in your Bible. Notice if you would in verse 29. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We need to stop cutting people down and saying bad things about them. Build them up. It's just as easy to say something good about somebody as it is to say something bad about somebody. And you know there's nothing worse than when you say something bad and it gets across to somebody. And you know there are people out there that just waits till you say something so they can go tell somebody else what you said. You need to be very careful. You know how you keep from getting in that trap? Don't say anything. Don't say anything bad. Don't be pulled into it. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll play you and they'll set you up and boy, they'll get you and they'll pull you right into saying something and then the first thing they do. And I know over school sometimes, I'll see little girls and little boys, boy, they'll split their little groups up just by finding and letting somebody say something. They run right to them and tell them. You know what they said about you? Then here you go. Oh, man, you think the end of the world happened. But what we need to do is stop cutting people down. We need to start building people up with their words. We need to stop overreacting. And we need to start acting like Christians. There's no need of overreacting. Somebody said, well, he said something bad to me, I'll say something bad about him. He said something more bad about me, I'll get more bad about him. You know, that's the thing I didn't like about the first presidential debate. To be honest with you, both of them act like children sometimes. It kind of got under my skin a little bit. I liked the second one much better, but I still didn't like the way it's one-sided. But anyway, saying this, I want to say this. Sometimes we get after our kids, and then what they do is they sit there and watch us act like kids. We need to be very careful. We need to stop overreacting to things and act like Christians. Be a little slow. Last but not least, notice this. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Quit retaliating and learn to forgive people. You know, listen, the first thing anybody that's got sin has got to do is this. They got to own up that they got it. Somebody said, well, preacher, I can't get my son to quit drinking. I can't get him convinced until he sees he's got a problem. And until that problem gets bad enough in his eyes, he's not going to do anything. My son's got a drug problem. until he sees where he gets where he hates that drug, and he sees what that drug's doing to him, he's not going to do anything. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You can go with a gambler and until they understand they have a problem. But the same thing applies to us. Until we see that we have bitterness that is robbing us of joy, we're not going to take care of it. If you're going to take care of your bitterness, first of all, you got to own up to it. Second of all, you got to realize this. It's not somebody else's problem that did that to you. It's your problem. The bitterness is yours. You say, well, they said something awful, hurtful. Well, that's their problem. But the fact that you allow bitterness in your heart is your problem. And so you've got to own up not only that you have it, but you have to own up that that's your problem. And you're letting it affect you. And last but not least, you need to come and you need to confess it and get it beyond you. Now think about this just a moment and I'll close. Think how much better Ahithophel's life would be had he dealt with his bitterness. Do you know what would happen had he went to David and said, David, I'm sorry. I've had this bitterness. David would have loved him and cried on his shoulder. How do I know that? Even his own son that tried to kill him, take his throne, he loved to the very end. He wept when he heard that he was killed. David had a forgiving heart. That's why God said that David had a heart like his. That he's a man after my own heart. And you see, what we have to do, folks, is this. We have to understand this simple thing. Please do this. Again, bitterness, regardless of what the cause, only hurts you when you have it. And if you let it grow and bear fruit, there'll be a whole lot of other people hurt because of it. If you don't learn to take care of it before it blossoms. Amen. Let's give a song, brother. You know, we're all tempted. We're all tempted at times. The devil loves nothing more than to plant some seed, get that bitterness growing, let it take root. You don't see it. You don't see it when it's taking root. But man, when it starts coming up out of the ground, it'll bust sidewalks up. It'll bust everything else up when it starts coming up. But it's too late then. The root's strong. It's hard to ever break it. That's why we need to take care of it when we recognize and realize that we've got something that's taking away from our spiritual side, grieving the Holy Spirit, where we can't have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Jesse.
There's a great day coming.